This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm VK6FCRC Clinton and welcome to another episode of News West for the 30th of July 2023. Now over to Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know?
Hi, this is an article from Barry Burns, VK6ADI, on his introduction into slow scan TV. My first experience to this digital mode was back in the early 70s in Darwin, Northern Territory, when I got an invitation by Doug MacArthur, VK8KK/VK3 Uniform Mike, now Silent Key, to visit his QTH for a demonstration in a new craze in amateur radio called slow scan television. Doug acquired a robot SSTV kit from the USA, setting it up using a 5-inch Crow tube, a 5BP1. He was in contact with a ham in the USA on 20 metres. Doug's transceiver was a Yaesu FDX-401, very popular in those early days of SSB. I could see a fuzzy image, 36 lines, but identifiable image coming down on the green tube, and I was immediately hooked on this new technology in amateur radio. I acquired a robot kit from the USA and was in the process of assembling it, but never completed the project, as we got a visit from Cyclone Tracy on Christmas Day, and our elevated home with the ham shack underneath in the laundry area did not pass the wind test. We ended up with a large dance floor with an open-air toilet. Our experience surviving Cyclone Tracy will be a subject of a future article and a part of that amateur radio played in it, and how my family was evacuated to Adelaide by a Galaxy transport aircraft. The underneath shack was holed by flying debris, as the walls were asbestos, which was not prohibited in that period. All my homebrew radio equipment was damaged and waterlogged, putting an end to my ham activities. 3 months later, I flew to Adelaide on recovery and recreation leave to spend 2 weeks with my family. While in Adelaide, I bought a Kenwood TS520 transceiver, which had just come out on the market, and took it back to Darwin so I could get back on the ham bands. The army and other services had finished erecting 3 temporary rooms and a roof so I could live there. No roof over the toilet so I could sit on the throne and look at the stars. SSTV was put on hold and got interested in RTTY and acquired a Model 15 teletype machine made up of an interface and back on air with RTTY and SSB with a G5RV antenna. Still had water on site, but no power. Hence, was given a 3 kilovolt amp generator by the NT Emergency Services. I never got back into SSTV until I left Darwin in 1997. I bought a 100-acre property in Beverley, WA. It was in 1998, after I had established a ham station in Beverley, that I contacted Tony, VK6ATI, and Ray, VK6ET, who were experimenting with analog SSTV using MMSSTV. This exposure reunited me back into SSTV and loaded the software down to join them on regular skeds on the HF bands. Ray had set up a repeater on SSTV in Clackline near Northam, WA, where we could test our transmitted images and also check for propagation conditions. Over the years, we experimented and used various forms of software from Digitrix, HamPal, and finally settled on EasyPal, as Tony VK6ATI described in his previous article on SSTV a few months back. The WASSTV group for the past 2 decades have kept regular skeds on various modes and sessions made interesting when an image is sent. The operator talks about the history and contents of the image. Tony VK6ATI is a net controller and has ran and kept the group together for the past 2 decades. Deserves a long service medal, as Tony mentioned. Information can be obtained on our webpage, wasstv.net, for downloading the software, frequency and times our SSTV sessions are run. 7-3, this is Barry VK6ADI.
With the AGM season whirling truly upon us, it's a good time to look at what your club is doing and what your club is about, and chances are your club will have a constitution. You should have, and near the beginning of that document will be listed a set of one or more objects. The objects are an outline of why the club was formed in the first place. The rest of the document It's all about good management of the club. A good measure of how your club is going is to list the objects from your constitution and have an honest discussion about whether or not your club is doing what it should be doing. So, what if you aren't doing what it says in the objects? In simple terms, it means one of two things. Either you need to take a long, hard look at your club's activity program, or you should review your constitution because your objects may be out of date or too narrow in their scope. I'll deal with the former rather than the latter because the latter option would be a huge project. If you believe that your club isn't meeting the objects in its constitution, it's time to take a look at what you are doing. In fact, your constitution's objects must embrace the club's activities. To achieve this without restricting creativity, however, the objects should be fairly broad and not a list of specific activities. So now we've sorted out your objectives, what does your club spend its energy on? What occupies most of your time at the club? The first suspect on my list is meetings. The business part of any club ought to be dealt with by short committee meetings with minutes circulated to members. Any business out of the ordinary can be taken to a broader group of members. However, the day-to-day mundane stuff about paying the rent, the power bills, etc. is for the committee. You don't have to have all the members talking about paying the power bill. So having relieved general members of the drudgery of meetings, there's plenty of time to engage the members in club activities. These can be instructional, information sharing, maintenance and construction of antennas, etc. and, yes, playing with the radios. You got to play with the toys sometime. By a simple process of doing away with the unnecessary and replacing it with the fun stuff, your club will become focused, more interesting, and members will enjoy attending club meetings and activities. I'm Bob VK6POP.
Greetings all amateur radio operators. Please be aware that the Northern Corridor Radio Group will be holding its annual Hamfest on Sunday morning, the 20th of August, at the Cyril Jackson Community Hall in Bassendine. Please make note of the date change, with the Hamfest being held 1 week earlier than usual. The Hamfest will start at 9 a.m. and finish at around lunchtime. As always, suppliers can set up from 7:30 a.m. and the NCRG will be staging a raffle with tickets available on the day and online before the event. There are some fantastic prizes on offer this year. First prize is a Yaesu FT710 HF/50MHz radio valued at $1,695. Second prize is an ICOM ID52A handheld with D-Star 2 and 70 SEMs valued at $849. Third prize is an MFJ Enterprises 991B HF antenna tuner that's valued at $400. And fourth prize is a Raspberry Pi Model 4B with 8 gigabytes of RAM. This is a do-it-yourself kit with a few bits and pieces in. That's valued at $322. Tickets, they're on sale from the 20th of June, so that starts in a few days. And it's available to people in New South Wales, Northern Territory, Queensland, South Australia, Tasmania, Victoria, and of course, Western Australia. $5 per ticket is the charge, as always, and the raffle will be drawn on the day at the finish of the Hamfest at 12 o'clock. So please come along, catch up with your friends, check out the new and second-hand wares that will be on sale, and of course, dine out on some of the yummy snacks that will be available from the canteen. If you want to book a table to sell or exhibit at the Hamfest, please be aware that the tables will run out fast. There's no charge for the table, just an entrance fee on the day of $5 per person, NCRG members included. Additional details will be posted on the NCRG website, so please look for those. If you'd like to book a table or ask a question about the Hamfest, please contact myself, Brad Peters, VK6 Bravo Alpha Papa on 0427 401-513. Looking forward to seeing you all there.
Since 1931, News West has provided amateur radio news for Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6ARN.
From the Argus, Melbourne, Thursday the 15th of December 1921, is an article with the heading Status of the Australian Amateur. One cannot but wonder, when he compares the conditions under which the wireless amateur of Australia works with the conditions of the amateur in Great Britain and America, The great grievance of the experimenter in Australia is the ban placed on transmission of messages, and though he is given reasonable freedom so far as reception is concerned, yet the charge of £2 a year for a licence is too high. The licence fee in England is 10 shillings a year for receiving, and no difficulty is experienced in obtaining permission to transmit, provided the power used does not exceed 10 watts. This is sufficient to work over 50 miles if the continuous wave system is used. In America, no charge is made for the licence and, though the number of commercial stations there is far greater than in Australia, the authorities grant permission to competent amateurs to use a power of 1,000 watts, or nearly 1.5 horsepower. The policy of the Australian radio authorities has been to check amateur radio work. Amateurs say that the government would not grant them permission to use transmitting apparatus, and many would not pay the licence fee demanded. As a result, unlicensed stations have sprung up all over Melbourne, and as their whereabouts is not known to the authorities, surreptitious transmitting has been going on everywhere, and no care has been taken to prevent interference with commercial stations. On the other hand, the amateurs of America have achieved much. It is not uncommon for distances of 3,000 miles to be covered with the amateur transmitters in use, and an amateur wireless telephone station on the east coast of the United States has actually been heard in Scotland. Recently, a number of amateur operators in California have been commissioned to act in conjunction with the Aerial Forest Patrol Service, thus saving the government the expense of paying operators to work the 20 stations that have been erected for communication with the patrolling aeroplanes. No interference with commercial messages would be caused if transmitting permits were granted to competent amateurs who undertook to use continuous wave transmitters so tuned that the length of the emitted wave was either less than 250 metres or greater than 1500 metres. This precludes the possibility of interference either with the government or the commercial stations. It is to be hoped that in the near future, an amendment of the existing regulations will make such a permit obtainable.
Good morning, it's Roy VK6XY Victor with this week's Amateur Radio Helpline, the 29th of July 2023. I'm a bit sore at the moment and talking makes it worse. I've got broken four ribs, so I hope I get through it okay. But that's enough of my complaining. I have here Wanted by Kai in Broome the following: an ICOM transceiver model 7100. A 7100 ICOM transceiver is required, along with an analyzer, an antenna analyzer, any make model, for easy SWR checks, a 40-metre and a 10-metre vertical antenna, which can be compacted down to 1.5 metres if need be, to make it easier to move house, a 5/8 wavelength mobile for monoband 20 metres, 5/8 wavelength mobile monoband for 40 metres, and an MAT125 Echo tuner. If you are the proud owner of any of those items and would like to relinquish them to Kai, please contact him. His email address is VK6X, that's mine, VK6K Kilo Sierra Juliet at westnet.com.au. I'll say it again, Victor Kilo 6 Kilo Sierra Juliet at westnet.com.au. Next item comes from Greg. He has a HF transceiver. It's an IC718. It's 100 watts on 10 through 60 metres, 160 metres that is. Comes with a hand microphone, power lead, mic and original handbook. Very good condition, no scratches. Asking $450. Contact Greg, VK6Echo Delta, on his phone 0417-900-874. 0417-900-874. And cheers, 73, says Greg. That is all I have for you this week, listeners. This is Roy, VK6X-ray Victor. I'll get it right in a minute. Anyone like to check in for next week, just give me a call on email. roy.watkins@bigpond.com, roy.watkins, W-A-T-K-I-N-S, at bigpond.com, and I'll tend to your needs if I can. Thank you. And 73 from VK6XY Victor.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCIC, and I'd like to thank our News West team of volunteers and broadcasters each week, and those regularly submitting content each week. I'd also like to thank our readers and you for listening. Please stand by now for callbacks after the ident. Or if nobody is taking callbacks, please fill out the form on the VK6.net website so we know how many people are listening or reading News West each week.